It's good to see everybody this evening. Almost. I can either read or I can see. I'm assuming there's people out there. I hear noise. But it is good to be here in God's house. I appreciate Pastor letting me preach. I appreciate the Lord allowing me to serve. If you want to be turning to Ephesians chapter 5, when you find it, you can stand, please. Had an unusual thing happen today. Went to Starbucks, one of my little things that I do for the Hope Ministry. And I had my suit on already. So the manager said something about why I was all dressed up. I said, well, it's Wednesday. It's church night. I'm preaching night. Didn't really expect him to, yeah, okay. He said, what are you preaching on? Well, I kind of told him, well, there's some good verses about that in Ephesians chapter 5. I said, yeah, I know, I'm going to use some of those. And then he was feeding me all the stuff that I was going to talk about in my sermon. I didn't even know he was Christian, so I thought it was pretty good. Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 15. We're going to kind of hop through Ephesians, a couple of verses here, and then Ephesians 6. Kind of get an overall view of what we're talking about. Ephesians 5, 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And then verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with thy service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Bow with me in prayer, please. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for the church that we have here to come and worship your name, sing songs of praise to you, to give our offerings, to hear your word preached. We thank you for the word, that we can read it and study it and apply it to our lives, so we might be the Christians you'd have for us to be. I pray that the Holy Spirit might illuminate the scriptures for us this evening, and the Holy Spirit might be convicting our hearts of sin, so we might confess those sins and repair or bring our fellowship back between us, Lord, that we might have damaged. We do love you, Lord, and want to serve you. Most of all, we want to bring honor and glory to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Let's see if I can get a good balance here. All right. How many of you made a decision today? Kind of a rhetorical question. Obviously, you did. You're here. You decided to come. You made a conscious decision to come to Bethany Baptist Church this evening, be part of the service. You made a choice. Now, I understand some of y'all didn't actually make a choice, but I'm glad you're here. One of the things I normally do, matter of fact, I did already, as I go around and make a head count to see how many are in attendance every service. On a normal Sunday, not counting the afternoon service, just in here in the buildings during the 11 a.m. service, we run somewhere between 250, 300. Wednesday night, 150, 175, somewhere in there. Well, y'all are here this evening because you chose to. Apparently there's 100 or so that for whatever reason, chose not to be here. But it was a choice. We're all faced with decisions that have to be made from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. What am I going to wear? What am I going to have for lunch? What am I going to do after school or watch on TV or listen to? On and on and on. But think of it. We have so many decisions, we don't even realize that some of them are decisions. We just do it. How many of you went to work today? Sure, I had to. It's a work day. No, you made a choice to go. Richie, you didn't have to go to work today. You could have laid in bed. Now, there'd have been consequences. But you had a choice. You made a choice to go to work because you didn't want to be written up or lose your job or get demoted, whatever it is. So you made a conscious choice to get up and get dressed, go to church. Did anybody go to work in their swimsuit today? Hope not. You could have. It was a choice. You decided what you were going to wear. If you'd have worn your swimsuit, there had been consequences. And some conversations that are kind of weird, but won't go there. Teens, did y'all do school today? Why? Didn't have to. It was a choice. You could have said, no, I'm not going to do school today. Of course, you're going to be grounded or get licks or something if you don't. But it was a choice. You have to balance the consequences. And then further on down the line, okay, further consequences, you may not graduate or may work at McDonald's the rest of your life. Who knows? But every day we're faced with so many choices. We don't even realize they're choices. One of the things that God gave us or gave humanity in the 6 days of creation is that he gave us free will. We have the opportunity to make choices. These choices affect our physical lives. These choices affect our spiritual lives. All through the Bible, we see people making choices. Adam and Eve. Eve had a choice. She didn't have to take a bite of the fruit. Adam had a choice. He could have just smacked Eve upside the head and said, no, I'm not going to eat that. Moses, the Israelites had a choice. Joseph and Potiphar's wife had a choice. David had a choice when it came to Bathsheba. Jonah had a choice when it came to going to where he was supposed to go or saying no and ended up in a whale. Abraham and Lot had a choice. Lot's wife had a choice. Judas Iscariot had a choice. I mean, just think about it. The Bible characters we read about in God's Word, we're reading about them because of the choices they made. Either they made good choices to be a good example for us, or they made bad choices that the Lord could teach us, you don't want to go there. But it's all about choices. With every choice comes consequences. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That goes along with one of the Bible truths in the Hope ministry. It says, you can choose your sin, you can't choose the consequences. In other words, you can do whatever you want to do. You just don't get to pick what happens after that. So some consequences are good. Some consequences are bad. But in our lives, everything that happens to us is either directly or indirectly related to the choices we make. I can't remember how long ago it was, but I remember an old Sunday school program. Name of it was You Win and Lose by What You Choose. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So, now that we're thinking about making decisions, think about this. God has a will for each of our lives. There's God's perfect will. There's God's permissive will. So we're not going to worry about the permissive will right now. But God's perfect will kind of boils down to seven things. God wants us all to be saved, baptized, attend a local Bible-believing Baptist church, read and meditate on scriptures daily, have an active prayer life, pay your tithes and offerings, tell other people about Jesus. Seven things. And because the Lord loves us as his children, in each of these we have a choice. The Lord wants everybody to be saved. And he could have chosen this person, this person, this person. But that's another religion entirely. He doesn't do that. Everybody has a choice. Baptism, the first act of obedience. You can choose to be baptized or not. But where's the other acts if you don't do the first one? We're supposed to be in attendance whenever the churches are open and where there's a function. God's not going to force us. Okay, got a question. God's Word. Did you read and meditate on God's Word today? Yesterday? What about Saturday? We're supposed to. Bible says daily, but it's a choice. What about prayer? Have you taken time out to pray today? Friday, Saturday? It's a choice. Brother David said a while ago something about in the offering, paying our tithes and offerings. Tithe is 10% of the gross, plus offerings, it says in Malachi. It's a choice. The tithes are a choice, offerings are a choice. The Bible says do both. What about telling people about Jesus? This week, hand out tracts, invite somebody to church. This month, ever. We can do it with our mouths, we can do it with our lives, we can do it with tracts, however it is. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. People need to, you may be the only Jesus some people see. So even that is a way of telling people about Jesus. But it's a choice. Family, friends, neighbors. So if this is God's will for every Christian, then everything we say, everything we do, should involve or include these seven things, or be working towards improving on these seven things. Because when we choose to do that, we will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. When we choose to do that, people will see Jesus in us. When we choose not to, we're being disobedient. And that's a sin. I'm sure the whole people are tired of hearing this. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. One of the things, let me back up. I guess after I first got saved and started reading my Bible, and I read every time I'd run across that, okay, sins and iniquities are the same. I know we're not supposed to sin, so let's move on. But if they were the same, they wouldn't be both listed in the same verse separately. Sin is what? Anything that is not of God is sin. What are iniquities? That's the thought or the attitude or your opinion towards the sin. Both separate us from God. Remember, we're making choices, working towards those seven things. We can choose to, we can choose not to. Choosing not to is sin. The attitude towards those also can be sin. When we're separated between God, it says our prayers are not heard. He can hear, he chooses not to. Our fellowship between us and him is broken. The Holy Spirit won't be there to strengthen and guide us, because it's like we built this wall between us and God by the choices we made. Here's kind of how I pictured it. I always have a million things running through my head, so it's kind of hard to write down something actually that makes sense. But imagine trying to raise your children or have a meaningful relationship with your spouse if you're inside the house with all the doors and windows closed and they're outside. I told you it's a weird illustration. They have needs, but we won't hear what they are, so we can't take care of their needs. They need food and protection, but we can't get it to them. And if that goes on too long, it gets worse and worse and worse. It can be disastrous. That's what happens to us spiritually when our sins and iniquities separate us between us and our God. So what do we do about it? Comes down to another choice. Some people think it's a horrible, dirty word. It's called submission. Probably the hardest choice you're ever going to have to make. Submission comes from the Greek word, I'm going to take a stab at it, hupotasso. If I'm wrong, nobody's going to know any difference. So pretend it's hupotasso. But it describes a soldier under the military command of an officer. To yield to someone's authority or to place oneself in subjection to. So we are to submit to the Lord's will. Submission is living every moment of every day in obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By choice. A voluntary action. It's a decision. When two dogs get in a fight, how do you know when the fight's over? One lays down on his back and closes his eyes, wags his tail. That means I give up. Don't bite me. He submits to the stronger dog. You know, if you like watching MMA matches on TV, Connie's going, oh. When it gets to the point where one of the fighters is in a headlock or chokehold, what does he do? He taps a guy. That means, I submit, let go, I can't breathe. But he's submitting to the stronger wrestler. He's been under subjection to, he's going to submit to his strength and authority. Nobody likes to submit to anybody. It's not natural. It's not fun. It feels weird. Heck, you can't be manly or womanly. Ladily is not a word. But nobody likes saying, I'm weak. Nobody likes saying, you're better. We like to be on top. We like to be in charge. I want to do things my way. This is what I want. This is where I want to go. This is what I want to do. But we have a sovereign God. Sovereign meaning possessing supreme authority and power over everything, including us. The good things, the bad things, the uncomfortable things, and some of the things he may have chosen for us, we may say, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. I want to be in charge of my life. That doesn't feel good. That's weird. Sometimes we don't like it. So we make a choice. Am I going to do what God wants me to do? Or am I going to do me? Choices. You get wrapped up in things at work. We just had mission revival. I know stuff happens. You get tied up at work. Okay, if I work a little later, I can get this account done. or I can finish getting this populated, whatever it is. I'll make it church tomorrow. I can't make it tonight. It's a choice. Or I didn't set the alarm this morning. I got up late, didn't have time to do my Bible reading. I'll try to do it later. It's a choice. I usually put something in the offering plate, but maybe not 10%. And what's this offering thing? It's a choice. We choose not to be obedient. We choose not to submit because we don't want to submit. I make it to church most Sundays. I read most of the days this week. I don't really make enough to tithe on the gross and give to missions. God will understand. What right does my boss have telling me what to do? Change my lunch hour. Say I got to work an extra hour today. Can you believe my mom and dad say I have to be home by 10 o'clock every night? That so-and-so driver cut me off. You watch me cut him off now. But your iniquities are separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. They're choices. We chose not to be submissive to the commands of God's word. Some just gross sin, some dismissive attitude. Still sin. Still a choice. Either way, our prayers are not heard. If our prayers are not heard, then God's face is hid, then our worship is in vain. I remember if it was the last time I preached, or one of the last times. If you remember, it talks about being in the presence of the Lord. That means being eye to eye with God. But if his face is hid because of our sins and iniquities, you can't be eye to eye because you can't see him. This is scary. Luke 6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Another old saying or thing that I'd heard that I know the whole people have heard time and time again. Anything you're not willing to give up to serve the Lord just became Lord. You ever thought about that? A teen gets called into the ministry, or doesn't have to be a teen, a person called into the ministry but doesn't want to leave family and friends. It's hard to leave home, trust me. We went from Louisville, Texas, the northern gateway to the Metroplex, to move to Leveland of all places. It's like a third world country. But if we hadn't, then we would have been making family our God. We had a big house, had a boat, pickup truck, camper, everything. Gave it up, came to Leveland, pastored the church. It was a choice. I didn't have to. But if I hadn't, home, the boat, the car, the camper, our friends, would have been God. I could spend more time reading my Bible, but the phone keeps dinging. It's an all staff thing. Turn it off, or the phone becomes God. If you're stopping your reading to answer the phone. When I was first saved, my dad and I were big into fishing the state bass tournaments. When do they have bass tournaments? Saturdays and Sundays. You can't win a tournament just fishing on Saturday, because everybody else is out there fishing the rest of Sunday. So on those weekends when I missed church services, fishing became God. So sold the boat, quit fishing in tournaments. And then there's some small things I don't even think about. I don't like how my teacher does things. If your teacher's mom and dad, don't say anything about it. Or why does a pastor do things the way he does? Or why does my boss do the things that they do? I didn't have time to pray today, but I'll try tomorrow. I don't like it. I don't want it. It's all about I. I just made myself God. But when we allow God to be God, He tells us what we're supposed to do. How to do it. When to do it. The Bible says every good and precious thing coming from above. He's got our best interests at heart. He only wants what's best for us. But we have to let Him. We have to be in submission to Him. It's a choice. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Obedience. Submission. I guess what that would be in the Mark version of the Bible. You're not God, He is. Get out of the way and let Him be God. And while we're letting Him be God, ask Him to forgive us of our self-righteousness and our know-it-all attitudes and the sins that go along with all the bad choices we made. Why do you think, in 1 John it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us? Because we make so many choices during the day, so many choices by habit, we don't even stop to think that some of them may be sin. We just do it. It's the next thing on the list. I don't have time to think about it. I'm just going to do whatever I feel like doing. Or I'm going to do it my way. Or I'm going to wear what I want to wear. I'm going to listen to what I want to listen to. I'm going to watch what I want to watch. If we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves. And the next part of it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So have you made God a liar today by the choices you made? Kind of a scary thought, isn't it? Make Him a liar, His word is not in us. There's a solution. It's actually the verse that goes between those two verses. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we know what the sins are. That's the things that are not of God. And unrighteousness is what? If righteousness is right living, unrighteousness is wrong living, bad choices, disobedience, not submitting to God. So we can confess our sins, we can also confess the bad choices, and He'll cleanse us of that too. Because when we ask, the blood of Christ not only washes away the sin, but the iniquities also, and the lack of submission. There may still be consequences, but the fact and the guilt are gone.